Hello, rap fans. It's Richard Herring here. Thank you for listening to my podcasts, powered by Acast Plus. Do tell your friends if you think they might enjoy them too. And do come and see me on tour in my show, Can I Have My Ball Back? Go to richardherring.com/ballback/tour for all tour dates, going to lots of places in the UK. Some extra gigs added in London at the Leicester Square Theatre and the Bloomsbury Theatre. The Leicester Square Theatre first gig is very nearly sold out, so do rush along to those shows, London, if you want to come along. Some of the shows selling fantastically well, some of them selling pretty badly. Hello, Swindon. Do you know I'm coming to your town? Please buy some tickets. And I do have to give a trigger warning. I've done the show only a few times and 6 men have passed out. After the bit where I explain what happens to you during an operation for testicular cancer. So, are you man enough to handle my balls? Only come if you are, have lots of balls and are not scared of balls. There is some mild testicle trauma involved in this story of testicular cancer. It's mainly funny, though, and if you don't come, that means you're scared to come, and I'm going to judge you, so... It's like going on a fairground ride, so do come along. It's going to be very exciting to see if you make it through. I'll give you a badge if you make it through unscathed. Anyway, come and see the tour, richardherring.com for all that news. Some great Rahalastapas coming up, I have to tell you, in the next few weeks. The tour was a lot of fun. Thanks very much to everyone who came. Sit back, relax, and enjoy my stupid fucking podcast.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi friends, welcome to another Rahalastapa. This one is with Rachel Paris. As you may have noticed in the news, some stuff's going on in the world, which has mildly affected our schedule. We have about 10 more podcasts to go. We're going to put them out weekly from now on to cover the time. But the run at Leicester Square Theatre has been postponed. So if you bought tickets, you should be able to use them to reschedule for dates at some point in the future if we get through this thing. There'll be refunds if you can't reschedule, I'm sure. But yes, sadly, those are all gone. The James Acaster 02 one might go ahead, but probably without an audience. So if you won tickets to that, you will have to watch it being streamed. It will go out on the regular channels as always. And I am going to start using Twitch. If you go to twitch.tv/RKHerring, you can follow me. Then you'll get notifications of when I'm going live. I'm going to do some snooker, some stone clearing, maybe some games, and maybe some live streaming of Rahalastapa when we're back up and running, but also maybe a few little Rahalastapas to keep us going without audiences. We will see. If you are an Amazon Prime member, you can subscribe to us, give us $4.95 in dollars, I think, for free. You get one a month that you can give to anyone you want. It doesn't auto-renew, so you have to go back every month and do it. But if you feel like giving us some free money with Amazon Prime, join Twitch, link up your accounts, and give us that subscription that will cost you nothing and give us a bit of money to hopefully pay for some of the filming. So anyway, I'm really sorry that we've lost some great Rahalastapas. We did luckily get the one with Michael Palin and also with Ashlyn B. So those will be coming up in about 8 or 9 weeks. But for now, let's sit back, relax, and enjoy Rahalastapa with Rachel Paris. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man who's so tired he left his Stranger Things notebook at home. It's Richard Herring. Oh, yeah, here I am. Back again. Naturally,
Welcome to the show. Welcome to Richard Herring's Lady Slipper Trying On podcast. Is got to come up with a new thing for your podcast. There's so many podcasts now, aren't there? You've got to come up with a new idea. My new idea for podcast is to steal the slippers of various female celebrities. And then just each week I'll just try them on, let you know how they feel on my feet. It's a good idea. So I hope that should... So it's not in a sexual way necessarily, depending on the slipper. So, but I was... I had some friends over to look at my lava lamp the other day. Fucking hell. I just Googled cool things from the 1960s. Mine is actually a lamp made out of lava, though, so it's pretty exciting. And the lava formed the letters Rohelastubber. So I don't know if that's going to catch on. When I was stone clearing the other day, I don't know if you listened to the stone clearing podcast. You should if you don't. It's very good. I found a stone with LST, like... formed on it, the middle, and that's scary, isn't it? It didn't even strike me till afterwards. That was Leicester Square Theatre. It was just on the stone. I haven't gone mad. I was in Manchester this week on my tour. It's so nice to be in London. I hate all the provinces. I have to say, the people, I'm nice to them when I'm there, but they're so horrible. It's just so nice to be back in a civilized city. And I stayed in it. I was up there. Chris Evans, not that one. He was coming to film it. He put me up. Usually just stay in a travel, well, a premier inn or something like that. We stayed in the Midland Hotel, which is a very posh hotel. And, like, just me and him, I thought, oh, this is, what's going on here? Why is he? We got in there. I thought, what's he going to try something on? He's going, they've accidentally booked us into the same. Oh, no, it's a double bed. Well, we'll just... But his plan went awry because they got two rooms for us, so that was good. But I went downstairs for... It was a very nice hotel. If you want to stay in central Manchester and spend a lot of money, then do that. I went down for breakfast, nice breakfast, and there were some ladies came in these pink T-shirts saying, wake up, right across their bosoms. It said, wake up, which it woke me up immediately. They started coming in one by one. I thought it'd be quite funny if they weren't together. They just happened to be wearing the same... T-shirts. But then I looked at the T-shirts properly. It says, wake up to ginseng something or other. Okay, so they were obviously going out to promote some ginseng kind of pick-me-up thing instead of coffee. But what I noticed is every single woman who was around that table was drinking coffee and not drinking ginseng. So it's not that good. That's what I'm going to say. Also, you're already awake, aren't you? By the time you've woken up, you're already awake. So they might have had it in their room beforehand, but they were still awake when they had it. I think the only way it can work is if you... have it in some kind of pill form that you lodge in your cheek and that dissolves over 8 hours and then it wakes you up. That's the only way it's going to work as an idea. Told you it wasn't going to be very good. Oh, and I forgot to... Look, what's this? What is this? I did all my notes. I worked very hard today. I did all my notes about the guests for this and for next week's show. I was got well prepared. But let's get really prepared. I packed up the car and thought, I must go back for the notebook and my computer and stuff. And I went back for the notebook and the computer. But I didn't pick up my note. I left my notebook at home. So luckily I had this notebook in my... And by the... I thought, I'm going to have to get my wife to put it in a taxi and drive it. Then I realised you could just take a photo of it. So I've just copied it out. It's been fine. There we go. Blistering a stand-up. That's what's happened to me in the last 48 fucking hours. What do you expect? How many funny things have happened to you in 40 hours? Nothing. I did a podcast. Oh, I'll just say what happened in the other podcast, shall I? Anyway, my guest this week... I'm in a very good mood. She's going to have a lovely time. My guest this week is possibly best known, according to IMDb, and I'm wondering if this one is true, as the editor of India in a Day. Seems unlikely. She's also, of course, you'll know her from Impossible Celebrities. It's Rachel Barris, ladies and gentlemen. Rachel Barris. Welcome. Come and sit down. How are you doing?
I'm really good, thank you. I'm very good. I really enjoyed your notebook story.
Thank you. It was good, wasn't it?
Really nice.
I mean, I really just picked that out of my arse. Yeah. You wouldn't know. I know you know what it's like with improv. You have to script it and learn it. I actually improvised that.
Can I tell them that?
Yeah, you can,
I've got,
yeah.
I'm in an improvised show called Ostentatious, and this week we got, we've had them before, but we got just the most textbook email saying about the show. I was up for it until I realised the stooge who suggested the title of the show was really obviously set up. Not a single moment of your show is improvised. You shouldn't pretend that it is. I can't get over the pretense. Just accept that you follow a script. And he was like, oh my God, this is so brilliant. Like the idea that we could possibly rehearse and learn. We've now done, I think, like 800 shows. The time it would take, we're not paid enough for that.
Yeah, I know. It's just easier to make things up as you go along and just hope for the best, isn't
it? As you know.
Yeah, just pull a... All you do is just pull a face at the end when it hasn't worked or say, oh, that didn't work, and then that's it. I could do improv. India in a Day, is that you? It's on your IMDb page.
No, it's not
the editor,
me.
The editor.
It's not
of
me,
India
but
in a
I'm
Day.
Offended that you think I couldn't be an editor as well.
Just seemed unlikely you'd have one editing credit and it being about India.
Just gave it a go. No, that's not me. There is another Rachel Paris.
Well, she's on your IMDb page. Were you in Impossible Celebrities?
Yeah, I was. Yeah. I was.
How'd you get on that? Because I love quiz shows.
I did all right.
Did you?
I did all right, yeah. Other people on it included Debbie McGee.
Okay, that's good.
H from Steps.
Wow.
And Spencer Matthews from Made in Chelsea.
Oh, yeah, there's always one of those on. Yeah.
Debbie McGee was lovely.
Yeah.
And the producers still don't know this. When I was like in the hot seat type situation, she whispered the answer to me.
Oh, my goodness.
I wouldn't have known.
Wow.
And I sort of won that round on the back of it. Debbie McGee, what a cheat.
This is like the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire coughing, sneezing major, isn't
it? It's as high octane as that.
They'll make a drama about you and Debbie McGee.
Oh my God, that'd be amazing. I'd love that.
Would you like to play yourself or would you like to play Debbie McGee in that?
Oh, Sophie's choice. I think I could play Debbie McGee, but who would play Paul Daniels?
Well... it's not so well these days. So we recorded this a long time ago. You don't know when we recorded this. Good. Well, it was amazingly. It's only 2 years since you were on this show.
I know.
So it's lovely to have you back. And you were on this show, and then just everything exploded for you, didn't it? Just everything went amazingly well. So you don't need to thank me, but that's just one of the things. You were sort of doing okay, and then you came on the show. You became you won the 2018 Female First Comedian of the Year as a result of being on this podcast, up against Tiffany Haddish. I mean, this is pretty good. Ellen DeGeneres and Amy Schumer.
I don't want to do down that award, and I'm really grateful for it. But it was like that. It wasn't like the Oscars where you're like genuinely against those people. It's like who notices the voting online votes for that. And I think there's quite a lot of sort of British fans of the MASH report who voted for it. But nonetheless, I am better than Ellen DeGeneres.
Yeah, that's good. That is very good. And, once you've been on my show, your YouTube videos were getting, 60 million hits and stuff.
Yeah.
Which is, more than I get on my YouTube videos. So that's really impressive that the podcast helped you that much. I mean, it's I get about 10,000 of mine. So for you to get 60 million, that's... It's incredible, isn't it, the way that works out.
I feel like you are waiting for me to say thank you.
The MASH report started... the MASH...
I'll say it at the end.
The MASH report kind of kicked in big time, didn't it? In that sort of a couple of years ago, basically.
Yeah, when we had our podcast before, I felt then, I think the MASH report had been going for 3 weeks or something, and I felt then I've made it. I was yes. And I thought, that's why you've got me on. I've hit the peak of my stardom. It's not that I have sort of reached stardom since then, but then just a few weeks after the podcast, as you say, this sort of it was a very modern phenomenon. A couple of the clips went very, very viral, very quickly. I suppose that's what going viral means, is that it happens quickly. but what I wouldn't have known, obviously, unless it's you in the clip and you having sort of co-written it, is that it. The impact it actually has on your life, because you would assume, I'd have assumed before that happening to anyone else, that it wouldn't really make any difference if you're all over the internet, all over the world. And obviously, two clips going viral doesn't mean you're not like suddenly actually famous. But it really did. It was amazing the difference. Within a month, things like that I dreamt of doing for 10 years were suddenly opened. All the doors that are closed to you as a comedian that you want to happen are suddenly open just because a clip went viral. So I sort of, you know, within a couple of months was offered Mock the Week, you know, things like within that year, Live at the Apollo, suddenly a tour, like, you know, I was touring at the time, I was touring 50 seaters around the UK that I'd booked myself. I just booked my own tour, turned up with my keyboard, played my songs to 50 people, had a lovely time, but now could sort of sell out like big theatres. So, and that was the best effect. That was the best thing, was that I could actually sell seats deliberately rather than like Karen from Norwich booking to go somewhere on a Wednesday night because she wanted to get out of the house. Now I could play on a Friday night and people would actually want to see me instead of it being like an accident, which it had been before. So it did. It was a big change. It was a big change.
I mean, I saw you being. I can't remember who. It got to America, obviously. I mean, there was one you did about Me Too, which
Sexual harassment one. Yeah, that was probably the biggest one. And then the one about Trump and
Piers Morgan, which had the very famous image of. you're kissing his ass, but rimming him basically. And I think that in fact led to me getting into a Twitter spat with Piers Morgan, where he threatened to beat me up because I called him a fascist. I think like someone called him a fascist enabling cunt, and I said, "Yeah, he is a fascist enabling cunt." And then he said, "Yeah, if you come and say that to my face, and I'll."
And you were like, "I mean, you definitely would."
I definitely would next time.
Like, who does he think he's talking to? Of course, he would.
Have me on the show, and I'll do it. Have me on this one. But did you? Was it Judd Apatow? It was people like that that were retweeting. There was some big American.
I don't really know. Like a lot of big people did. It started off like little heroes of mine, like Caitlin Moran and people like that retweeting it. And then I think Sarah Silverman and like Paul Feig and all the SNL people and Anna Kendrick, who I love, and people like that, and just really. Kind of not always like hugely famous, but just people who I've always thought, oh, they're amazing, they're cool. So it was amazing, but I did get a lot of messages from people in really just random places all over the world saying, oh, I really like your clip, or even I learned a lot from your clip, which is worrying. It's meant to be a joke, and they're like, this was an education. And then, obviously, like, a lot of shit as well.
Yeah.
Inevitably.
Of course.
That was before I learned about Twitter regulation for yourself, so you don't see, like, every single person who calls you a cunt. And now I've checked that, so I only see every sort of two or three people who do it.
Yeah. But you can extrapolate from the ones you get to know how many there are.
Yeah, of course. You just do the maths yourself. You're just like, times that by five. That's probably about right, yeah.
And when you're really famous people tweeting and retweeting you, are you tempted to go, hello, would you like to put me in Bridesmaids 3 or whatever next to Paul Feig? Did you do that? Because that's what you probably should do. I don't know if you did do it, but it's probably what...
I probably should have. My agent probably wishes I had. I think, actually, to be totally honest, and this isn't very sort of... funny, sorry. You should cut this bit out.
Okay,
but no. It wasn't, it didn't, at the time, it was so intense and surprising and sudden that I didn't want to. I kind of wanted to withdraw.
I
got very scared of it and kind of didn't want to be offered too many things. And because then it was just this choice of like, they all felt like life-changing, hugely life-encompassing decisions to make out of nowhere. I just had normal Christmas and like, you know, just coming home from my parents in Leicester. I remember we had an ostentatious rehearsal out of Signal for one evening. This was when the Trump Morgan one went out. And I came out of, suddenly got Signal one evening, and I had a text from my mum going, Rachel, call me immediately. I had a text from the producer going, hey, I really, really hope you're all right. Please call me if you need me. And I hadn't seen what it was about. And it was terrifying.
Right.
And then I got invited on like all the talk show, like Sunday brunch and all those things. And I didn't really want to talk about it because I felt like it was just a thing I did on a show. I didn't feel like I did think it was true what we said on that show, but I didn't feel like the messenger for that whole opinion. I didn't really want to carry that as a person, and I found it really overwhelming. But in answer to your question, a shorter answer is yes, if it's the right person, Anna Kendrick, who I've now mentioned twice, who I love, she retweeted something, I think more than retweet. I think she might have even like tweeted me and Nish about, I can't remember what piece it was now. And I messaged her just going, "Hi, Anna Kendrick. I think you're really cool." And I really said, I really went for it. I said, "I really loved you in Pitch Perfect. In Pitch Perfect 2. I thought you were excellent in Into the Woods. I think you've got a beautiful singing voice." And I said all that. And she replied and she said, "Oh my God, I'm a fan of yours. I love the Mash Report. You and Nish have got an amazing chemistry. Hope to see you soon." Oh, and she never got in touch.
Did
but
you tweet
she
back?
Will.
When?
She
when?
Will.
I'm free tonight. Are you free tonight?
I will fly there. I will pay for it. I will fly. Yeah, she never has, but I feel like we're best friends.
That's good. I think you definitely are. Yeah. And she's correct. I think that's... it was. I liked the Mash Report right from the beginning, but I think it sort of really kicked in that series, especially the relationship between the two of you. I think they kind of... because you were sort of you being used as someone sort of doing a Twitter sort of parody thing in the first series, and then it became more of the character of Rachel Paris within
that show. Exactly. Yeah, they sort of like upped the character a little bit more, and they got me... because I wasn't... the first... that little four-week start thing when I was just doing the tweets, I wasn't writing on it,
and then they
gave me a bigger bit and got me writing on it. So, but the relationship between me and Nish, everyone's always been like, "Who thought that up? Like, whose idea was that?" And it's like, no, that just happens. That has just happened very organically between us. But now it really pissed me off. Now loads of people are having that relationship with Nish.
Yeah.
Like you see him on everything, and he's always having a sort of passive aggressive patronizing relationship with a female comedian, and I'm like, I did that first. I patronized him first.
Well, it's lovely. And you weren't in this last series so much because you were
on honeymoon.
You were on honeymoon. I think that's sort of fair enough.
But
you'll be back. There's more
it's
next
coming
year.
Back. I have no idea if I'm allowed to say that or not.
Okay,
so don't tell anyone.
Well, this doesn't go out for ages, as long as everyone keeps it quiet in here. This lot didn't tell anyone that Stephen Fry tried to commit suicide until the podcast came out. So
nice.
I think we're safe.
Yeah, very discreet.
They just didn't realise they could make £50 by going to the sun. Then. So is now that... you know.
Get 50 on the quid, is that what they pay?
I think you get something like that, don't you, for breaking a story, breaking your life story.
Yes, that's right, yeah. So it is coming back next year.
Good, because I missed you. I thought it needs Rachel Paris.
Thanks. I can't wait to do it again.
The people who were on it were
excellent as well. Excellent.
But it needs you. Get rid of those ones. And Nish. Get rid of Nish. He's no good. Put Michael Sheen in. That's what we need. You mentioned Leicester. You were brought up in a place called Siston, is that right?
No.
What is it? Where
Fuck
is
off.
It? Where is it? How'd you say it?
Syston.
Oh, okay.
Siston.
Same thing. It looks like Siston. That's what I would call it. Where pucker pies are made.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if you know much about pucker pies.
Of course I know about pucker pies. I'm from Syston.
It puts me off that they're called pucker pies
because
it sort of implies there's something, you know, you don't go, this pie's fine. It's a good pie. That's not how you sell a pie.
Yeah, they might as well call them like acceptable pies. Pies which have officially passed the test.
So I'm suspicious of them. Is it the same people who make pucker pads as make pucker pies?
I don't know that.
Okay.
Sorry.
It'd be a weird thing to
branch. But my brother did briefly work in the pucker pie factory.
Did he?
And I can tell you now that I don't think those pies are to be recommended.
Okay.
In case you were wondering.
Did your brother never return from the
no,
pucker pies?
Yeah.
It was very brief, and then he just disappeared. I found his ring in a pie. You're making up your own jokes, aren't you? What's the best thing apart from pucker pies in Syston, sister?
In Syston? Well, Terry Dwyer is from Syston.
Well, you know what? You're not on the Wikipedia page as notable residents.
What?
There's Terry Dwyer is from Hollyoaks.
Well, rightly so, to be fair. Remember Ruth from Hollyoaks? Yeah, of course you do. So she's from Syston. Yeah.
Dave Bartram from Shawaddy Waddy.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean,
he doesn't have his own page, that guy.
But he is on the Syston notable.
He's on the notable residence. No Rachel Paris in there.
Wow, this does feel like a slur.
It does. It's a terrible thing. So anyway, I lived in Loughborough for a while, which must be not too far away.
I went
away.
To school in Loughborough.
Did you?
Yeah.
Which school did you go to?
Loughborough High School.
Oh yeah, it's a good school. Yeah. I went to Cobden Infant School.
Did you?
And Emmanuel Infant School probably, and Cobden Junior School is where I went to in Loughborough. And then we got out of Loughborough, thank God. I mean, the whole of Leicestershire's pretty dire, isn't it?
So you were... No. No, it's not.
Isn't it not?
No, bits of it are, but bits
Loughborough's bad though, isn't it? Loughborough's pretty hot. Shoddy.
I don't know. I can't separate my experience of Loughborough, like, as a schoolgirl and sort of like pre-teenage, like going out clubbing and all of those experiences. And I haven't really noticed any particular difference between going out shopping or clubbing or anything like that in Loughborough and really most other cities. Nightclubs are nightclubs. Yeah. Pubs are pubs. They've got some nice pubs. They've got some nice clubs.
I've been back to Loughborough quite recently and it feels like going into like... a world where they've just recreated the 1970s. You know, it feels like a tourist attraction where you can go and find out what the 1970s were like. Except there's a couple of mobile phone shops ruining it.
I can't really remember.
No offence, Loughborough.
Like, we went... Because I didn't live... Yeah, no... Well, I'm not offending.
You're being
them.
Nice
you're
to
them.
I mean, you're really defending
I'm
Loughborough
being nice to
the hilt.
Them. But Leicester has got, like... It's got dives where it hasn't, but it's also got like some beautiful places. The city centre is now really lovely. It's like been massively like overhauled. I would say it was quite ropey when I was growing up, but it's been like massively overhauled. It's really nice. And there's loads of like lovely countryside around it to go walking in. It's nice. I mean, I don't want to live there, but it's nice. But I love London.
Yeah.
I felt like a Londoner the week I moved here, even though I was like in Ealing, which is clearly not London. It's so far away. But I was like, living in a tower block in Ealing, working for Stagecoach in Stevenage.
Wow.
Ooh, at the time. And I just loved London straight away. I was just like, this is where I'm meant to be. And I should have moved here earlier.
Yeah.
I wish I had.
Should have moved here like when you were four.
Yeah.
No pucker pies, though.
I might as well have moved here when I was four, for all that the Syston Wikipedia page says.
Exactly. I'm very surprised you're not on there. And, you know, slightly offended on your behalf, but not that much. So I'm going to ask you some emergency questions.
Yes.
They're going to be fairly random. I'll ask you some of the newer ones that aren't in the book.
Do you know them off by heart?
I know some new. I've been asking some of these nearly every time recently because I like this one. If you could have one item from any museum or art gallery, take home and keep, any art gallery museum in the world, they all get together and say, you're allowed one thing and it's yours. What one piece of art or object of history or anything would you like to own?
I'd quite like... take it or leave it. I'd like... because obviously I can't remember everything I've ever seen in a museum, but no. I do remember I saw the massive Monet paintings in Paris this year. The really, really big ones that take up a whole room. And I thought, that'd be such a nice thing.
Yeah.
It's nice to see some art that you'd actually like to see in your house.
Yeah. And you wouldn't have to wallpaper that wall.
Exactly. So I'd have the Monet paintings from the... Good. Whatever it's called in Paris.
Yeah. Whatever it's called.
The Orangery?
Oh, the Orangery.
Yeah, I don't know.
Good.
I was there, but I don't remember. the big ones.
Good. That's all right. I mentioned this. I've had a few choices myself. In the recent podcast, I wanted La Pietà from the St. Peter's or St. Paul's in the Vatican, whatever that church is. It's Jesus being carried by his mother or Mary Magdalene. We couldn't work out which one it was.
Oh.
I think it's his mum. He's on the cross. He's down off the cross.
Yeah.
His mum's holding on to her. It's nice. Nice bit of... he did that when he was 24, Leonardo da Vinci, I think.
Really?
He is. Yeah.
He's a bit bleak.
Yeah, but, you know, that's my favourite bit when Jesus is dead. So it's a very small period where... It's the best bit. He's dead. Think, oh, thank God for that. He was such... Went on, didn't he? What was going on? I wonder what's going to happen next. Oh, he's back. It's like the Walking Dead, literally. Keep killing people and letting them back in again. So, yeah, so that's my new one. There we go. What is the most famous person you've been in a lift with that you didn't get into the lift with?
I think it's Peter Andre.
Is it? That's good.
Yeah.
What lift was it?
He was so... It was in the London studios when we were filming the MASH report, and he was doing a morning programme, I think, and he was so nice for the brief two words we spoke, because I think that he was under the impression from my... I've never seen him before, and he feels so familiar to me from, like... Because the age I grew up, like, Mysterious Girl was such a big thing.
Yeah.
And so I greeted him, like, oh, hi, like that. And he sort of... I felt I tricked him into thinking that he knew me.
Yeah.
So he was like, oh, hey, how you doing? Nice to see you, like that. And I was like, oh, I'm fine. It's nice to see you. But that is all we said to each other. But I think I made a good impression.
Yeah.
I got the impression he was a nice man.
He is nice, but I think he likes girls who don't say hello to him a bit. He likes mysterious girls, doesn't
oh,
he?
Oh, yeah, that's... against type.
You did. But maybe everyone tries to be mysterious and he just wants the direct approach.
Yeah, I should have been like, oh, hello.
Yeah.
Mysterious and badly French.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So this week, on my drive back from Manchester, for some reason, I started thinking about... I think it's just because you get old, you start thinking, you know, your life concertinas, and you start thinking about missed opportunities and things that have gone wrong. And, like, a really weird thing came to mind about a girl who used to work in Sainsbury's in Balham, all right, who I would go into Sainsbury's in Balham, and I was... and we just had a, like, there was a little frisson between us.
Did you used to live in Balham?
I did, yeah.
I live in Balham.
There you go. Well, see if the girl's still there. Sainsbury's. She won't be so nice now. It was quite a long time ago. If she's still in Sainsbury's, it's going to be a disappointment for me. But she was working, and she was, oh, she recognised me from, like, the TV, I think. Yeah. She was, oh, hello. And there was a little bit of, we were both a bit kind of breathy, and I'd go there, and I would deliberately choose her queue for quite a while, and just buy the stuff, and then go, oh, I see, bye. And then on the last day she was in there, she went, oh, I'm going back to... She was, I was about 25, and she was at university, and she said, I'm going back to university tomorrow. And I went, oh, okay, well, see you, bye. But I should have said, do you want to go out for a drink?
Oh, yeah.
And I was just thinking... And it also, at that time, I was, like, really lonely. I was going back home on my own in, you know, just eating pot noodles and drinking and... was too shy to go out and talk to anyone.
On the other hand, she might have said no.
Yeah, she probably would have. I'm just wondering if she listened, maybe she listens.
Comme ci, comme ça.
But she might be listening to the podcast.
Yeah.
If she's listening to the podcast, just let me know if you would have said yes. Because in a way, it's a nicer story that nothing happened. If I chagged her, it wouldn't be a story, would it?
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't have told it on here. but you know, it's weird to have that. I've got this sort of romantic regret.
Yeah.
So I was going to... I think there's a podcast. I was saying this to you backstage. I think there's a podcast in regret. I don't know if anyone's done one, but getting people on to ask about the things they regret most in their lives. But it doesn't have to be big things. It can be little things like that. Do you have romantic regrets?
If I do, then... Because I, unlike you, I feel like I have...
You were very confident. If you wanted to sleep with someone, you'd say, let's go for it.
No, not that. But I feel like I would regret doing rather than not doing because I feel like I've done it all.
Well, I've done it all, but I still regret the ones I didn't do. Right, I don't really regret the ones I did do.
I don't feel like I sort of passed over many opportunities, which I'm glad about.
Yeah.
I had a lovely time.
Good.
I think my uni years, I really... felt in love with and obsessed by one man who was not interested in having a relationship with me. And I think those are the years when you're sort of finding out who you are and like, I think I slightly sort of would have done myself a favour with moving on from that idea a bit quicker. I'm trying to think if there's any... Like, there is some sex that I regret.
Yeah.
Just the sort of, like, very brief, like, what... I'm not offending anyone really by saying this. Like things that meant nothing to either of us.
Yeah.
Like you feel like, oh well, with that, but then, no, I haven't really got. I feel like all of the people you meet and all of the romantic relationships you have lead you sort of to where you are now, and I feel very happy with where I am now.
I think it's more. I mean, it's more than that. It's more. I regret being. I wish I'd just had the I wish I had the confidence just to say, "Do you want to go for a drink?" And even if she said no, then that would still be better than not. You know, to be in your mid-20s and still like that. I was like that as a kid.
Yeah.
Basically, the only sex I had was with people who said, "Do you want to have sex with me?" And they go, "Okay, yeah, that's fine." And that was, and I did it. I did it with everyone who said that.
What do you? What do you think about the difference between men and women with that? In that, I think there is still now, like I look at like all the people that I've been in relationships with or been out with or had sex with, and the times when I've done the approaching have been very minimal. And I think because there is that, that difference there still now, because I feel like we live in, you know, much more times of equality. And it shouldn't still be that way, but it still sort of is.
I think it is. Sarah Pascoe was on last week, and she was... I mean, her book discusses that, and that, you know, that women are meant to wait for and the men are meant to... And she has sort of sympathy for men, for being that the onus being on you. It's ridiculous.
I do as well. I really do. And I really think as well... as well, I don't think many people think this anymore, but that old idea of, like, that... that women should conceal the number of people they've slept with, and it should be sort of lower, and a man's a lad if he's slept with loads of people. But actually, I think the truth is probably a lot of women have probably slept with a hell of a lot more people than men have, because they get offered it so much more. So if you're quite an open-minded person and quite up for it, then there's quite a good chance you've slept with quite a lot of men.
Yeah, I know I have. It's got to be equal, though, at the end of the day. That's whatever it meant for heterosexual relationships.
Yeah.
Men and women have had the same amount of sex. It's not on any of the statistics you'll see. It's always, but men are about 10 more than women when you ask them what the how many they've had sex with. So women are lowering it by 5 and men are upping it by 5.
Yeah.
But it's got to be equal, hasn't it? There's always, if it's heterosexual, I mean, unless someone, even if you're having sex with two people at the same time, it's still the same number.
Oh, I see what you mean. You're talking about science.
Yeah. I'm talking about mathematics. There's always a man and a woman every time a man and a woman
have
sex.
So it has got to be... Oh, God, I've never thought about it that way.
Even if you've got one up the arse and one in the vagina, that still only counts. So you look, well, I'm doing pretty well here, but it's still one of each, you know. It's one all.
Yeah.
For the same, I mean, it's two all. But one woman's done two and... The men have
you need
got
someone
two.
To do some basic maths here.
Yeah, it's maths.
Where's Johnny Ball when you need him?
Good. Well, that's going to be my new podcast. Regret. God, I think that's it, because also if you ask people what their romantic regret is, I think that's it, because my romantic regret is not doing something and your romantic regret is doing something, or, you know, being obsessed with someone that you shouldn't be obsessed with. Good. Good, that's my new podcast. This one's over. I've killed this podcast. So what else? Oh, and well, congratulations on getting married.
Thank you.
Any cracks starting to show in the marriage yet?
Not yet, but I feel like it's very early days.
6 weeks.
6 weeks.
That's a time to learn.
Yeah, maybe we're like on the turn.
6 weeks. I don't know, 6 weeks into my marriage is going to... Because the thing is... What have I done? I was thinking. Because, you know, the day's nice, isn't it? And then nothing's as good as the day.
I really enjoyed the day, but yeah. I was relieved when the day was over.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I found the lead up to the day, because I get very anxious, and a day when there are over 100 people having expectations of it being the best day of your life, and I did in the end have a fantastic time on the day, but the lead up to it was like highly anxious for me. So the once I will say, like, if for me, like, the honeymoon really started when the honeymoon started. I've just felt very happy and relaxed since, and I feel really I don't know. I never thought I would. I didn't know what it would feel like to be married. If it would feel different at all, but I feel very like it was the right thing. Like, I feel very relaxed in it.
Phew.
Yes.
I mean, imagine.
Good job. I mean, if it wasn't the case, I probably wouldn't be talking about it. But no, it feels nice to say husband. It feels like sort of that word. I've always struggled with like the words for your partner, because saying just sort of partner or life partner sounds a bit like you don't know if that's, you know, how serious it sounds. Like you might just be in business together, maybe do a hemp business together or something. And, you know, the word boyfriend sometimes sounds too casual. If you're really committed, it sounds like you're just sort of, you know, having, I don't know, fingering each other or something. And the word... And fiancé is ridiculous as a word. Fiancé, is you can't say that without self-deprecatingly going like, oh, fiancé. You can't say it without taking the piss out of yourself for even using that word. So to just be able to solidly sort of say husband, as old-fashioned as it is, feels like clear. It just feels like, yeah, that's what we are to each other. So, I like it.
Good. And like some people don't get it in 6 weeks, so you're already beating some people.
Yeah, it's true.
So that's nice to know. I think I got married about the time as I started my Metro column. I think I was getting, I think we just announced we're getting married. We got married quite quickly. And I was sort of writing columns saying, yeah, it's all right. I've got past the 2 days. I think like people have been married for like 2 hours and stuff, obviously. But
yeah,
there are quite a few marriages that don't last a month.
I think one of the Kardashians got divorced after like 4 weeks or something like that.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yes. Well, so well done. You've beaten them.
Yes.
I mean, I'm not predicting it's going to go wrong.
No.
I think quite the opposite. I think it's going to be okay.
Thanks.
Which is the best.
Is that the opposite?
That's the best you can hope from any marriage.
But that's the opposite.
Yeah.
It's going to be all right.
It's going to be fine. You'll stay
survive.
Together. In about 20 years' time, you go, why did we stay together? But we've stayed together this long. We might as well carry on to the end now.
Thank you.
Please. That's not just you. That's all marriages.
Yeah.
Okay. That's my experience. That's all I'm saying. That's my... My wife's wonderful. I love her so much. Oh, honest. She might watch the video. She won't. She doesn't like me anymore. So... We get on all right. It's fine. You liked school, right? I liked school.
Yeah.
I sort of preferred being at school to... I didn't... A lot of people want to leave school and don't enjoy school.
I loved school.
I really enjoy school.
I felt ready to leave, but I loved it at the time, yeah.
I'd quite like it if we could still... I almost proposed the idea of having, like, a school for comedians.
Yes.
Where you could just go in the morning... You'd do a lesson, which would be just you doing some writing, and then you could go and play for 15 minutes.
Yes.
And then you could all have lunch together. But I think, like, when you're a comedian, I think you're the same. I really like just the enforced, the way it was, the school so enforced.
Yeah.
And there's stuff to do and there's people around, but everything has to happen at the exact right time.
I'd love that. I need that. I'm really bad with, like, self-motivating.
Yeah.
And, yeah, to have that school thing, sat at a desk, one of the proper desks that opens up, and a completely... like an ink pot that you don't need.
Yeah.
That'd be so nice.
Yeah. Should we set that up?
Let's set it up.
I think what would happen is everyone would just start taking drugs and having sex with each other in the lessons.
Well, que sera, sera.
Could work, but you'd need like a headmaster.
Yeah, who would be the headmaster at the school?
I could.
Dara?
I guess someone. Could get my dad. My dad was my headmaster. Get my dad into... Yeah.
But yeah, but then you'd be like the weird kiss ass at the school.
Yeah, I would. Well, I was.
Oh, yeah.
He's 83 now. It might not be, might not work.
Can I be head girl?
Yeah, well, that's why I thought you probably were head girl, but you were never head girl.
I was never head girl.
You're such, you so like archetypal head girl. I mean, that's a compliment, right? if I had to say which comedian was head girl or head boy.
Well, maybe Sarah Pascoe.
Yeah.
Definitely not Catherine Ryan. She's the cool, naughty one.
She was a naughty girl. No, good. But you weren't. What was the highest level you achieved at school in terms of authority figures?
Authority? I was house captain.
Okay.
So it's something. It's something.
It's good. I was I was up for non-sporting house captain.
What? They had sport house captain.
It was like they had a sport house captain, and then usually, and then one year they decided, well, let's do a house captain for all the things that aren't sport related, like quizzes and all that sort of stuff. But
it's so that's classic. Like some schools that are like, yeah, there's sport, and then there's everything that isn't sport.
Isn't sport. But I didn't get it. I got defeated by Steve Cheek. I did a routine about it, but I kind of. Because my dad was the headmaster, so it was a vote, and literally everyone, but I mean, my three of my friends voted for me. And I could hear, we went out of the room, but I could hear the arms being raised.
What were they wearing?
Just if there's enough hands going up quick. It wasn't like, oh, let's think about it. No, it was a. But if loads of hands do that, it makes a noise. And the noise is. And if three hands go up, that makes a noise, it's just everyone else laughing. So I got.
And some going, oh.
Yeah. School was nice. I know my dad was the headmaster. I still really liked school. I think on the last day of school, everyone was really happy to go. And I think I was a nervous child. I was quite scared about the end of school.
Yeah,
I regretted leaving.
I was sad to leave just because I had a nice time.
Yeah.
But I just remember we did have a lot of fun at school. We got up to a lot of scrapes. Like, it was. It was nice. I think I was very lucky. It was a nice school, and I quite liked the teachers. I think it just hugely depends, like, which school you went to and if you liked. I think some people do just really like the idea of, like we've said, we want to set up a school again. Like the idea of being forced to sit in a room and write and learn. I that's my jam.
Yeah.
I love that idea.
Because I've forgotten everything now. How much is still in there? Have you got anything still in there? Mine's all gone.
I'll tell you what's really still in there is all the stuff, because I learned it at primary and secondary school, is all the stuff about around the period of the Tudors.
Okay.
My God, that stuff doesn't leave you, does it? Like, everything, like, was just, you don't know. And then someone's like, well, I went to Bradgate Park in Leicester the other day, and that's where Lady Jane Grey's ruined castle is. And my husband was like, oh, so who was Lady Jane Grey? And I was like, what? You don't know who Lady Jane Grey is? And he was like, no. And I was like, the 9-day queen? And he was like, when was that, before or after the Tudors? And I was like, it was during the Tudors, obviously. Yeah. Like, she married, like, the young King Edward before he died. We don't really know what. He was always a weakling. And it was all, like, a massive conspiracy. Like, we just... This, like, that Tudor period, I feel like I know, like, the back of my hand, and it has not been useful apart from to torment Marcus.
Yeah. Was that when the crack started to show in the mouth?
Now I'm saying it, yeah. I suppose it was, like...
I remember going there, because we went there, like, when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And I really liked going there, because I'd have, like, a Zoom lolly from the... It was an ice cream van.
What was a Zoom?
A Zoom's, like, the rocket-shaped one three or four different colours on it.
Yeah, there'd always be an ice cream van in all of the car parks
that
around
it. That was the one. That was I'd go to, and I'd always have a Zoom.
Really nice.
Yeah, so I'd love the Lady Jane Grey. That's what I associate with her, is the Zoom lolly. She'd love, I mean, if she knew,
she
could work out what all that meant and go, you know, you're going to die, but a little boy in 1976 will really like eating lollies in your memory.
She'd be glad.
Yeah, she'd be glad. She'd be glad she was dead. Right, I'm going to ask you some more emergency questions, and then we're going to go home. What? Here's a question, it's for kids, but I'm going to ask you. Have you ever seen a fairy?
No, I wish I had. I used to love stories about fairies, but I don't think I've ever seen one.
I had a girlfriend who believed that fairies were real.
Oh, God, how long did that last?
I went out for quite a long time.
What would you say to her when she would talk about it? Would you play along? Would you like just do a face?
There was one time when we had sex in a field.
I mean, you're asking for the conversation.
I thought I saw a fairy. So I said, I think I saw a fairy. It was night time. It was fine.
Yeah, it was fine.
She believed in fairies, though. It was probably not going to work out, but, you know...
Did she believe in, like, ghosts and stuff as well?
She was very New Agey. It was all crystals and no inoculations and stuff like that. I mean, we talked about having kids, and I said, we've got to inoculate our kids. She said she wouldn't inoculate our kids. So we didn't have kids. Because, you know, there's no point in having them if they're going to get measles. You know, wipes out the memory of the immune system. Did you know that's the latest research? So
really?
It's not just you get measles and anything that your immune system has managed to defend you against wiped out. Get inoculated. I mean, you probably are inoculated. There's so many people not inoculating their kids now.
I know.
Yeah. So that's why I could never marry her.
I'll talk to you about this backstage.
Really? Okay. Good. Let's talk about it now. Let's carry on.
Get inoculated.
Get inoculated. What's your most common recurring dream?
Just a comment on my dreams, first of all, is that they're almost entertainingly dull.
Okay.
Like, I dream about, like, me as myself getting out of bed and going to buy some milk from the shops. And I still wake up and tell Marcus about it. And he's like, Jesus Christ, Rachel, this is so boring. But I have quite fun anxiety dreams.
Right.
Like, you know, obviously that's what I go for. And they're always like a thing that they are quite true to life as in the vibe of all my dreams, but they're like, things like I've got to do an opera. So it's always something that I have no ability to do. So like to do a Shakespeare play from memory or something, or to sing an opera. And I'm always like backstage and I'm about to go on. And I just at that point realise I've had no rehearsals. I can't sing opera. I don't know the words or the music. And I tell everyone in the dream, I go, I don't know the words and I've never sung opera before. And they go, it'll be fine. Did tell all the Shakespeare stuff. So yeah, I have quite a lot of like very performer related anxiety dreams.
I have those ones. Do you have the one about doing? I constantly have the one about doing my A levels constantly. Like now,
I've never had that
one. Me now
doing
A levels. The last time I did it, I was doing A levels I didn't even do. So it's like the 52-year-old Rich Herring going back to school. You've got to do your A levels. Well, I've got them already. Now you've got to go and do them. You're doing French. Do French. I can't speak French, can't do, you know. And then, but like in the dream, it's like if you don't do this, then you can't do any of your, you can't go back to doing comedy. You've got to go.
Yeah, there's always
the same sort of thing, isn't it?
Yeah. I've got a question for you. Do you have dreams ever where you can fly? And if you can, in what way do you fly?
I have dreams about falling, but I don't dream about flying.
Do you not? I dream quite a lot about flying, and I fly the way that you would swim, kind of thing. And someone just went, yes. Does this ring a bell? So you have to like push your way through the air, kind of thing, like that. And the context in the dream is always that it is unusual for me to be able to do that, but not completely out of the world. So I start doing it, and people aren't like, "What the fuck's happening? She can fly!" But they are like, "Oh, good for her."
Oh, well, I'm going to try and dream about that now.
Yeah.
That sounds quite good. All right, we'll do one more emergency question. It's going to be a good one.
There have been much cleaner questions on stage than they were backstage.
It's all random, though. I can't choose it, Rachel.
Oh.
I can't choose it. Just whatever comes up. They're just none of the rude ones are coming up. I'm just trying to work if I asked this before. If I asked this before, we'll move on. If you you recognise this question, you've heard it before. If you were going to be in a human centipede...
Yeah. I think you have. No, okay. Go on. What was the end of it?
You get to be in the middle, but you get to choose who's at either side of you. Who would you have in front of you and who would you have behind? I haven't asked that for a little while. Nice to have it back.
I don't... Well, I suppose, and I'm sure she'll be glad to hear this, I suppose Anna Kendrick at the front... And I suppose, just for karma, Katie Hopkins at the back.
Okay, that's fine. She's had a brain injury. Give her a break.
Who has?
Katie Hopkins.
Has she?
Yeah, she had something done to her brain. That's why she's crazy.
Is it why?
No. I used to... when she was on The Apprentice, I used to quite fancy her on The Apprentice.
Was it because she was sort of sassy?
She was sassy. They film in the boardroom in a way that makes their eyes really shine bright, don't they?
It's that they shine light into their eyes.
So she was very... Could be that. There's one on this series of The Apprentice.
I haven't watched it.
She's like quite young, but she's sort of pretty, but she's really posh, called Lottie something. I quite like... She's really mean and nasty and posh, and I quite fancy her. And I told my wife, I said, that's going to be my apprentice girlfriend.
Yeah.
She was annoyed, because I picked the youngest one as well, so she was annoyed about that. She said, you pick the youngest and prettiest one. I go, yeah, but I like, she's mean and... You know, and I used to fancy Katie Hopkins, and I think it's the same thing. I think Lottie Lyon.
I can't believe you used to fancy Katie Hopkins. That's really weird.
But then my wife said she was going to have an apprentice boyfriend, and she picked the
youngest, hottest one.
She picked the best looking one, and I was furious. And how could she do that to me? I was cool about it because I'd picked my apprentice girlfriend. It was fine.
You got in there.
She thought she'd get me, and I go, no, it's fine. You go out the big eyed idiot. Well, you have an apprentice, but do you allow an apprentice boyfriend and girlfriend? When I say allow, my wife doesn't really like it. Didn't really enjoy the conversation.
I don't. I haven't seen The Apprentice, so it would be very difficult to choose.
By the end of the episode, I didn't like her anymore. I changed, but I have yet to decide who my new. There's some right weirdos.
So you're not letting it go. You are continuing.
Yeah, carry on. But she's glad to know it'll be one of the other ones.
Yeah. Did you just say she's glad to know?
She'll be glad
Katie,
to know.
She wants to know which one on The Apprentice I want as well.
You know, when Katie Hopkins, anything's up from Katie Hopkins, isn't it? All right, one more question. Have you ever been on a plane that's been in a genuine emergency and seen a genuine look of fear on the face of the flight attendants?
Close.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not to the point of the things falling down, but to the point of it was last February and it was in South Africa, internal flight from one bit to another. And it was so properly that on the plane, like the film Airplane, moving around. And it was, you know, bing, 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 everyone go back, put your seats on. And, the flight attendants were looking very worried and then went and strapped themselves in. It was quite scary.
Because they're meant to pretend not to look scared.
Exactly.
Yeah, so if they look scared, then it's bad.
You're worried, yeah.
I'm glad you're still here.
Thanks.
I've seen as well. I had one where there was smoke leaking in the cabin.
Oh my God!
Everyone, it was further back in the plane, and I didn't see it. And I was drunk, so I didn't know what was going on. I'd sort of half fallen asleep, and I kind of woke up, and everyone looked really panicked, and I didn't know what was going on, except that the plane was heading back where we'd come from, and when we landed, there was fire engines and everything.
That's really scary.
Got a free day in a hotel in Barbados. I'm not complaining. It was great. Free tab, it was fantastic. Had lobster, had beer. I wasn't meant to have beer. They said, you're not allowed beer. And I said, oh, I'm having it. And then when they tried to charge for it, I said, I haven't got any money left. I've just been on holiday. Best day of my life. Right. What's coming up for you, Rachel, that you can talk about? We're probably somewhere into 2020 by now, so you can... Are you still touring?
2020. It's quite an interesting kind of meta thing to imagine where your life will be.
Let's imagine where your life is. Where do you think the world, the country is going to be? Do you think we've Brexited when this goes out?
God. No, I don't think we'll have Brexited by then. I think it will still be
Boris
the kind
Johnson
of...
has promised we will. So
well,
he's a man who
lots of
you
things.
Can trust.
He will still be doing the sort of 3 monthly or 6 monthly appealing for for an extension. I think by then,
he's prime minister, let's not make that assumption.
Mm.
The people who are listening know it's frustrating, isn't it? They're laughing at us. They're really having a laugh at us. You idiots, there's been a nuclear war since you recorded this.
Katie Hopkins is Prime Minister now. In 2020, I will be doing Ostentatious in the West End.
Oh, fantastic.
Every week.
Scripted, completely scripted.
Completely scripted, and yet every show's different. I'll be touring a little bit as well in sort of spring and summer. And the MASH report. Yeah, good. So this isn't going out until that's good. By then I'll be allowed to say it.
None of these people will say.
And the MASH report starts in April 2020.
Okay. To be honest, they ring the Sun and tell them about that. I don't think they'll get 50 quid. Right? Do you know the MASH report's coming back? It's all right. I've had something else for you there, but it's gone. Ladies and gentlemen, please give a massive round of applause, Rachel Paris!
Thank you!
Go and have a drink. We'll see you next week. You have been listening to Rahalastapa with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Rachel Paris. Thank you to Pest for playing the music. Thank you to everyone at the Leicester Square Theatre for having us back after all these long, long years. Thank you to Chris Evans, not that one. Everyone at Go Faster Strike. Hey, thanks to Kathleen McKeegan from Rahalastapa.com. Check it out. It's a great website that really helps me research guests we've had on before. I'm indebted to my producer, Ben Walker. I'm also indebted to my executive producer, Julie Giles. On set, we called her Jiley Jules. It was very funny. This is a Fuzz, Go Faster Stripe and Sky Potato production. Please head to gofasterstripe.com/badges and become a badger immediately. If you are a monthly badger, you get backstage interviews, you get your ad-free podcasts, you get them a day before everyone else. You get all sorts of little bonus things like stand-up shows and a badge and a membership pack. It's great. gofasterstripe.com/badges and help us make more podcasts. There'll be another one next time. See you around. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Thanks for listening. Go to gofasterstripe.com for all your Richard Herring download and book needs. Go to richherring.com/gigs to find out if Can I Have My Ball Back is coming near to you. And please listen to as many podcasts on this feed as you possibly can and make your family and friends and children and strangers, make them listen too. Do get consent from everyone before you make them listen, though. All right, thanks for listening. Go and listen to another one. Bye-bye.